Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Exodus 3, 1 through 15. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will send you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth a people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.
He's seen this story before. Moses knew how this story would end. Epic failure. I'm certain these thoughts were going through Moses' mind as the Lord talked to him through the burning bush. I'm sure Moses' life passed before his eyes. He had grown up in Pharaoh's court with Pharaoh's daughter as his adoptive mother. Moses had the best education that Egypt could offer. He lived in the lap of luxury. Luxury was all he had known. But I wonder when he realized that he didn't belong. Maybe it was when he realized that he was circumcised and his brothers and cousins were not. Maybe Pharaoh's daughter told him he was a Hebrew baby boy who was rescued from the Nile. Maybe he realized the resemblance he had to the Hebrew slaves who served him daily. We don't really know. However it happened, Moses decided to leave the lap of luxury, to identify with his Hebrew brothers and sisters. He left everything he ever knew. Moses chose to protect the Hebrew slave who was being abused by an Egyptian. Moses killed the Egyptian slave master. The use of power. Later, Moses tried to settle a dispute between two Hebrew slaves. He tried to lead, but they rejected his leadership. One of them asked Moses if he was going to kill him too, like he killed the Egyptian. Moses did not belong with the Hebrew slaves either, or so he thought. Moses ran away to the wilderness, and that's where we find him in today's passage, in the wilderness, tending the sheep of his father-in-law, a Midianite. Moses was living in the wilderness of Midian, but he certainly did not feel like he belonged. Moses had no home, and when Moses had sons, he chose not to circumcise them. Perhaps he didn't want them to feel singled out, different than the other boys and young men around them, like he did, singled out. He was trying in his own little way to create a sense of home for his boys. And Moses didn't like to think about Egypt or the Hebrew slaves. Moses had blew it, and he knew it. He had made his mind up. He was not going back. Ever. But here was God commanding him to go back. Go back and bring the Hebrew people out of Egypt. It's no wonder that Moses balked at the command of God. You know, I tried that before. It didn't fit. I didn't fit. I tried to lead and it didn't work. Epic failure. If we're honest, we felt that dreaded feeling too. Been there, done that. Failed miserably. Don't want to go there again. It's too painful. I'm afraid of rejection. I fear repeated failure. The task is beyond my skill. Like Moses, we sink down into the morass of depression, and we fail to see the gifts that God has given us. What gifts had the Lord given Moses in this passage? Well, let's unwrap some of them. God told Moses to take off his sandals. Why? Well, Moses was standing on holy ground. He didn't realize he was on holy ground. God was there in the wilderness with the shepherd Moses at work. Moses, who was living in exile from everything, the Lord was there with him. And Moses missed seeing God. If we're not careful, we'll miss seeing God active in our lives. We'll miss the holy and the mundane in our wildernesses, at our work, at our play. What's the gift? God is with us, always. Well, let's continue unwrapping. God told Moses to take off his sandals. Why else would he ask this? Well, where else do we take off our shoes? At home. God was giving Moses a home that he never knew was there. God spoke Moses out of exile so that the exodus of God's people could begin. Moses was finally home. Home, it's a funny word. I call Hutchinson home. I call Heston home. I call Wadsworth, Ohio home. But where does the Lord direct Moses to call home? And God reminded Moses of his true lineage, of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is home for Moses, with the Hebrews. But home goes deeper than that. The Hebrew people found home in following God's will, wherever they found themselves. Moses would find his home when he followed God's will for his life. And what was God's will for Moses? Well, the Lord had seen what Moses had seen, the Hebrew people being persecuted. God had heard their cries and was ready to answer, to free them from slavery, to initiate Exodus. And Moses was to be an instrument of God in this work. Moses asked God, "Why me? I can't do that. I can't lead Israel." I was rejected. I failed. Ask someone else, please. And how did the Lord respond? I will be with you. This work is God's work. God's got this. Don't worry. Don't fear. Just go in faith and do God's work. But to return to the place of rejection and failure is never easy. Go to a place where I will be powerless. There seems to be no hope. We too know this fear deep in our souls. And God still says, I will be with you. Jesus is still saying, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And let's follow the way of Jesus. Let's do the work that the Holy Spirit is laying out before us. But what if we fail? Sorry to say it, but failure is a certainty. Failure will come if we do nothing at all. Failure will come if we keep doing what we've always done. Failure will come if we try new things or old things in a new way. But hope for new life comes only if we try to follow the way of God, the way of Jesus. Even when failure is involved, even when rejection is involved. Failure. What did Edison say about his experiments with the light bulb? What did he say about his multiple failures? He said, I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Failure is not the end. Failure only means that there's a chance to try again. With new experience. Didn't get it the first time or the second time? Well, there's an old saying, third time pays for all. It means that when we persevere through failure, success will be more likely and all the sweeter when it is attained. So when we find our home in the adoptive family of God and in following God's will, we can be assured of success in the long run because success is built upon God's strength. Not ours. Third time pays for all. And that saying makes me remember Tolkien's Middle Earth series. The phrase comes up a couple of times. Once it comes up in The Hobbit, right before Bilbo goes into the mountain to meet Smaug the dragon for the first time and scope out what seemed to be an impossible situation. And though Bilbo saw a way to a solution, he saw the dragon's weakness. Bilbo could not do it on his own. He had to have the help of a thrush, a bird, to tell Bard of Smaug's weakness so that Bard could slay the dragon. In the same way, God's work happens in the midst of community. God still calls us to work with the unlikeliest partners as we seek his will in our communities. The other time the phrase, third time pays for all, comes up. It runs like a thread through Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings series. Three times the powerful wizard Gandalf needs aid to succeed, and an eagle helps him. The first time was on the top of Orthanc, Saruman's home. Gandalf was Saruman's prisoner. Gandalf sent the eagle a message through a moth, and the eagle flew him out of captivity. The second time happens in the mines of Moria, where Gandalf nearly dies in his battle with a Balrog. Again, the eagle flies him to safety, a resurrection story buried in the series. The third and last time happens at the fall of the evil land of Mordor. The mission of the entire three-book series is about to be accomplished, but Gandalf knows that Frodo, the ring-bearer, and Sam need rescuing from the destruction when the ring of power is destroyed. Gandalf tells the eagle, third time pays for all. And the eagle flies him to Frodo and Sam and rescues them from certain death. Another resurrection story. God's will calls us to give up power or the lure of power in our lives. Bond with God's community. Do God's will and resist the lure of power. To go on that journey in our lives may seem like not better than a fool's errand. But with God, it's not only possible, it's certain. So, how can we get started on our way to God's work for us? Well, let's ask some questions together and see what answers bubble up. Questions like, how can the gifts we have benefit the communities we live in? Well, we are a creative bunch of people, so let's keep our eyes open to see how we might creatively make contacts in our broader community. And through those contacts, discover how God is already working with the potential already there, and discover the needs and how we might creatively address those needs. How can our church building be a resource for our broader community? We already have a Girl Scout troop that meets in our building every other Thursday night. We could make a concerted effort to show up during those meetings and to see how we might be helpful. Family Community Theater is also meeting in our building with a group of children preparing to put on a play towards the end of this month. We could show up at the rehearsals that happen on Tuesday and Thursday nights to see how we might be helpful. We could show up at the performances at Dillon Nature Center and the Hutchinson Zoo the weekend of September the 23rd. And there's a chance to host auditions for Family Community Theater's production of White Christmas. If we host those auditions the last weekend of this month, how can we be supportive of both the directors and the auditioners? We could choose to also be there to see how we can help and be a resource. Indeed, if we continue this ministry of hospitality to groups in our community, how can we make our building space more flexible? Well, what if we replace the pews with individual chairs instead? These chairs could be moved around more easily to open up the space in the sanctuary. And this change will also give us more creative ways to set up the worship space for when we worship on Sunday mornings. Or in what ways can our endowment be used to spread the love of God to our neighbors and to spread the good news? Well, here's one example. A group of people, including some right here in this congregation, are preparing to present a faith-based play in January of 2025. Funding is needed to make this happen. We could sponsor or partially sponsor this production, which may lead to others down the road. And in what ways can our personal strengths and weaknesses benefit our neighbors? We have passions. Where might they lead us? Community can be created when we seek to accomplish something that we cannot do on our own. We extend what we have to offer and seek to find other people in the community that can fill in the gaps. Not everything we try will succeed, and that's okay. In fact, that's to be expected. Third time pays for all. Well, let's embrace these questions and others like them so we could seek the will of God for us in this time and place. Third time pays for all, indeed.